Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right. Welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. We're finally back. It's Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman as well. We're ready to talk some football, some life, a lot of things. We've been on hiatus since April, I think mid-April. So it's good to be back. Our countdown's at 88 days today, 87 days tomorrow. To scheduled kickoff, I'm still using scheduled TJ because you just don't know in this day and age, you know, with new things popping up. So we're 88 days away from the scheduled kickoff of the 2020 Indiana football season. And then along for the ride with us this year, we are partnered up with Armchair Sports, Armchair Media. So you can find our podcast on Spotify, on iTunes, and on the Armchair Media Network. So Armchair is a collection of 50-plus podcasts, including ours. It tries to bring all the local podcasts together into one place, so it's a little bit easier to figure out. Starting on June 1st, Bet Online will serve as our title sponsor for our show, as well as for Armchair. Sports are starting to come back. I know a lot of betting junkies who have been betting like Belarusian hockey and things like that. So people are dying to start putting money down on some bets. We have NASCAR's back, UFC's back, golf's back, NBA's coming back. So there's a lot of sports coming back. So if Bet Online is going to be our title sponsor, so to see things all Armchair, search Armchair Media whenever you get your pods. Also check us on Armchair's website, which is armchairmedianetwork.com, and their social channels are at Armchair Media. Armchair Media, those who can do, those who can't, take a seat. So TJ, welcome back. How have the last few months been?
Yeah, it's certainly been a difficult time for the country and for I think everybody personally trying to deal with kind of the isolation that the pandemic brings about, followed by the murder of George Floyd and the just from an IU football standpoint, it's been a very difficult time for the IU football family. While I'm not impacted personally by that, I mean, Cam Wilson's parents murdered, and then former player Chris Beatty, who touched a lot of people within the community, he was gunned down and murdered last week. It's just been a lot of very bad news, I think. And from a personal standpoint, you know, I'm doing fine. Family's healthy. I don't have anything to complain about. There are some things here and there that you could complain about. Then I catch myself thinking how fortunate I am and how much better off I am than many others around this country. And it's, you know, sports serve as a distraction for us. It's a very, you know, enjoyable way for us to pass time and have commonalities and common ground. And I think that's incredibly important, you know, in any time, but particularly with what's happening right now in our country and with a fight that is really coming to the foreground. I think it's overall a net positive that it is. For racial equality, for justice, within the criminal justice system, and the reform that's needed there. And I think sports do provide not just something we can talk about, but something that, that can be bonded over, and something that that I think we have seen Tom Allen, and we'll talk about this, the leadership that he has shown, that, you know, we can, not to be cliche, but we can love each other. It's something that that yeah. you just have to look to the Indiana program to see a shining example of that.
Yeah. And we'll get on into all of that on the second half of our show. We didn't want to rush through things and things like that. But our first part of the show, there has been some IU news on the recruiting forefront. Since we've last talked, they picked up commitments from a whole bunch of people because we haven't been on that long. But you picked up most recently Trenton Howland, an athlete, three-star athlete, probably going to play running back, but is reminds a lot of people of Stevie Scott, 6'2", 218, played both ways, running back and linebacker in high school. So he's a nice pickup. Jordan Williams, who's an ESPN four-star recruit, wide receiver out of Georgia. He's going to play his high school ball in Texas at, I think, Dallas Christian or Dallas Catholic, one of those schools. That Deion Sanders is on staff there. So he's a nice pickup as well. David Holloman, he was clocked at a 4.240, a running back out of Michigan. A three-star guy. Again, they beat out some guys for him. And, you know, with the exodus of running backs in that room with Cole Guest and Ronnie Walker and Ivory Winters leaving, getting two guys in this 2021 class was huge. And then IU also added Australian punter James Evans. Hayden Whitehead's back this year, but they need a replacement. And Why not go back to Pro Kick Australia? James Evans is from Auckland, New Zealand, but he's worked with the Pro Kick Australia people who have done phenomenal things for punters coming over the United States. And it's just that group of guys. I mean, IU's class is going to be small again because they have such a young team. But the pieces they're picking up are really nice. They're good plug and play pieces. Their average rating is 85.96. Last year is 85.00. So people who get caught up on where they rank nationally and in the Big Ten, with the smaller classes, go to your average ranking. And right now, this class is rated higher than last year. It's got 8 commits and things like that. But right now, Indiana is trying to plug some holes. They're in that we need to plug some holes type of mentality. And they're trying to get the best player they can at those positions. Any other thoughts on the recruits coming in?
I think some people were surprised that IU has two running backs lined up already. I think something to consider, you know, there's a very real possibility that this is Stevie Scott's final season in Wilmington. We don't have any information on that. We don't have any information on that. We're not tipping anything off here, but you just have to look at how running backs are valued, and the longer you stay in college, the more, quote, miles you have on your tires. And that, mentality has to come into play for Scott. It does. So, you know, if you take that into consideration, then you've got, let's say that Stevie does go, let's say he has a good year and earns himself a place in the NFL draft where a team tells him, okay, we got a fourth round grade on you. You know, okay, then Stevie Scott is – you know, maybe he considers then going pro, he turns pro, and if you're Indiana and if you're caught unprepared, well, then you're down to Samson James, Tim Baldwin, and David Ellis, which good group for sure, but you need to bolster that. So adding two guys, one of them looks like a, you know, direct replacement for Stevie Scott in terms of body type and the way he runs. And then another one, Holloman, is just a burner that you can use in a lot of different ways and get creative with because of that game-changing speed, which Indiana needs more of. They need more explosiveness out of that group. So, you know, I'm really excited about the future of David Ellis, but and the future of Baldwin, and we know that Samson James Flash, what he can do, but it makes sense to add to, especially if they're two quality pieces like what Indiana has. These aren't guys that they've settled for. These are players they wanted. Then in terms of Williams, just look at his offer list. I mean, I'm no expert, but I look at who else wanted this guy. And there were a lot of big-time schools that offered Williams. So to me, what that says is all these people can't be wrong. Surely he's got to be good. Now, his tape looks good. So, I mean, that's the part. But everybody's tape can look good. It's the fact that his tape looked good. Plus, look at that offer list. That's impressive. And I think he'll be a nice addition. I think you're still going to be looking for some more defensive ends. I think you're still going to be looking for another tight end. And like you said, it's going to be a smaller class. So, depending on attrition from the roster, which no way to know at this point, after this coming season, Indiana could be looking at anywhere from another, you know, six to maybe 10 spots left in the class to add some additional pieces. But so far, so good.
Yeah, and going back to Stevie Scott, he's got over 400 carries in his college career. If he if he stays healthy, avoids that catastrophic injury, you think he'd get another 200-something carries and another 1,000 yards this year, and there's no value in coming back to college in terms of your draft stock. So I think Indiana realizes that. It definitely seems like the writing is on the wall, and it's could be good for IU too. It's another running back you'd get drafted. It's good for recruiting. It's another, you know, sales piece that you could go out on the recruiting trail for. Some other news that came up, TJ. Indiana is coming back to do voluntary workouts. The first wave of players are traveling back to Bloomington as we speak. They'll be tested for the virus over the next couple of days. There's a couple day quarantine, and then activities begin, I believe, on June 15th with voluntary activities. They put out a whole like 17-page packet on how it's going to look, but they're coming back in three or four waves. The first wave is I think 66 people coming in. You have groups of 10 people, not 10 players, but 10 people in the weight room and things like that. And we'll see how that goes. And you know, you've seen the news from Alabama where at least five players tested positive and things like that. So it's a waiting game, and this is what happens in this situation, is that you're waiting on data to come out, and it's a new virus that we're dealing with, and that data is like every other scientific study, it takes time. And so that's why things are coming back slowly. And if, as a teacher in Indianapolis, we got our return to school guidelines last Friday, and it is a 38-page bear of a document that, you know, doesn't really say much, but you could, you know, in terms of, hey, when we're going back, this is how it's going to look. But the guidelines for it, it's, you know, it's going to take some time. People have thought out these plans, but it is still a very fluid situation. And you might have to go to plan C, D, E, and F in a normal situation when you maybe go to plan B and things like that. And also out today in somewhat breaking news, the NCAA Football Oversight Committee came out with their six-week practice plan to get the season started on time. It's something I saw a few days ago. But it's voluntary workouts, go up and through July 12th. It's five stages that starts with the voluntary and virtual activities and starts the regular season on time, including week zero. From June 1st to July 12th are the voluntary and virtual activities. Then you have 2 weeks, just about 2 weeks of summer access between July 13th and July 23rd. That means, required summer athletics activities are allowed. To do that, there's weight training, conditioning, film review, getting ready for fall camp. That also goes with walkthroughs starting July 24th to August 6th. Won't get into all the details there. Preseason camp, and this is what everybody's waiting for, preseason camp is set to open August 7th. You get it, or 29 days before your first contest. So for Indiana, it'd be August 6th. Since they play on September 4th, as of right now. Week zero is going to take place. So there are a few games in week zero. The only game not taking place in week zero that was scheduled was Notre Dame Navy, which was supposed to be in Ireland, and they pushed that back a week and moved it to Annapolis. And then the regular season is supposed to start September 5th. That's plan A, or that's plan A of the COVID situation. Plan mm-hmm. A was just normal business as usual. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel. The road gets a little bit clearer and things like that. So we're getting close enough and the road is well lit enough to say we could get there. We could see the destination now. It's there. There are still obstacles, just like any other road in Indiana, there could be a pothole and a major one. But it's there and it's a good feeling and we'll see where it goes. But any thoughts on those schedules, TJ?
I think from a logistics standpoint, everything looks like it makes sense. I think for the coaching staff, they are probably most anxious, one, just to have the players back and get to be together as a unit again. But number two, get their kind of intake evaluations, if you will. Really see, okay, who's been putting in the work, who has actually taken advantage of this and gotten themselves better, and who has shown up and they have not put in quite as much work as you'd like them to. And taking that intake evaluation, getting that new baseline for each guy, particularly with the new strength staff that IU has. I mean, for Coach Wellman, it's going to be the first time he's really meeting a lot of these guys face to face. So, and his staff, same thing. So, it's going to be really important for them to get that intake done and then develop a plan from there to get ready for camp. That is your primary objective. From a NCAA standpoint and a Big Ten standpoint, every school is going to have to kind of be able to come to grips with, okay, we have a positive test here. Here's how we move forward. It's going to happen. It is inevitable. And it's going to have whether we like it or not, it is going to have an impact on the season coming up. If there is to be a season, COVID's going to be a part of it in terms of the attendance, in terms of the testing and what a positive test means and how you react to that. I think that just from off the top of my head, depth is going to be more important than ever because you're not just going to have only injuries to contest with. So it's going to be very, very interesting. But for now, everything looks like it makes sense. And like you said, there's going to be some potholes, but hopefully nothing kind of major that knocks the wheels off this thing. Because like we said at the start, college football is, you know, we love it. It's a great thing that means a lot to us and means a lot to the college athletic ecosystem. Football is so important that not having a season or having one that is significantly impacted by COVID in terms of its length or its finances would be devastating to collegiate athletics. So we'll see. I mean, so far, I think the NCAA or collegiate athletics as a whole have handled this as well as they can.
Yeah, and it's about, you know, having a plan of, okay, control what you can control. You can't really control the virus, but you can control how you respond to a positive test. And yeah, you know, Indiana's trying to group people who live together in groups. They're trying to spread out position groups, so you don't want all your quarterbacks in the same group or stuff like that. It's a lot of thought has gone into this process, and that's what people need to remember, is that this takes a long time to plan, and things are so fluid and change so often that just have a little bit of patience, and you know, eventually we'll get through it and things like that. So that's where it stands. Right now the season's on as scheduled, and I know in our, you know, conversations, we've gone back and forth on, oh no, this isn't good for the season, and oh yeah, we're definitely having a season. So it's definitely been a roller coaster of a ride. And, you know, even more to your point about the ecosystem around college football, college sports, man, these college towns need those fans coming in too, and support those local businesses and things like that. So hopefully that, you know, they get some fans. I don't think you'll be at full capacity, but if you get some fans in town and bars are open, you know, people could go watch games other way. It's not like IU is selling out Memorial Stadium anyway. So we'll see. Yeah. But let's turn to the current events that have happened over the last week involving racial injustice and social injustice, and George Floyd's murder, and things like it, just racial injustice should cover it all. But you could go on for a week on the current events. I was very, very impressed with Tom Allen's response. He was either the first or one of the first Power Five coaches to put a statement out on Twitter. It read really well. There was no mincing words. There was no, you know, ifs, ands, or buts about it, and things like that. And you go back to his LEO culture, which is love each other. They put out a terrific video on what that culture means at IU. And, you know, people have kind of laughed at Tom Allen in the past because of that. But now you're seeing why he instituted that kind of culture. Especially you see schools like Iowa are now having issues. And it goes back to when Tom Allen was hired, Fred Glass said he wanted to be demanding without being demeaning. And that exact phrase have been used around the Iowa program too. It's how do you be demanding without being demeaning? And apparently Tom Allen has found the magic elixir. He was down at the marches down in Bloomington, I believe on Saturday. I think they had upward of 1,000 people down there. He's been at that front line. He's not shied away from those questions. He's talked with his players. He wants to talk with them in person, because these are conversations you want to have face to face and not on Zoom. But he's reached out to guys too. You see his players backing him on Twitter as well, and it's just been refreshing to see a coach take that angle. What are your thoughts on Tom Allen? You did a great piece on who he is as a person with a giant heart.
Well, it he's easy to root for is the easiest way to say that, because Tom Allen is not just saying Elio as some hokey catchphrase. This is not just something he says at the end of interviews. You'll hear name your college coach. Most of them are going to end their interviews with something, go Sooners or go Tide or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I'm not being critical of that, but Tom Allen's not adding Elio on the end of every interview just as a catchphrase.
Yeah.
The man lives it. He 100% lives it. And I think that is critically important when you are talking about this particular issue, because it is so easy to just pay lip service to this, and people will see through that. Yeah, absolutely. And for Tom Allen, that's not the case. He has admitted that, look, I, as a white man, need to do more. However, I want to. I am here. I want to listen. I want to do my part to be a part of the solution. And he has stood with his players. We have seen former players. You know, one thing that I noticed was guys that transferred out of the Indiana program were effusive in their praise of Tom Allen. You know, going out of their way to respond to his Twitter post or to his video and say, love you, Coach Allen. You impacted my life. You changed my life. Or wouldn't be where I am without you. Something to that effect. Former players that played with him or played for him for a year or didn't even take the field for him as a head coach that transferred out, that still had very high things to say about him. I just think he's a man of incredibly high character, that the passion and the care that he has for his players, regardless of their color, regardless of their background, it shines through. And I think it is very impressive to see him lead, not just on this topic, but to be a leader of men. And I'm, you know, it will sound kind of hokey, and I'm fine with that. I am proud to have him as the head coach of Indiana University, and I'm proud to be able to cover, you know, his program. And that doesn't mean that we won't, we've said this before, it doesn't mean that we won't be critical when that needs to happen. It doesn't mean that if the team is 2-10, that we are going to say, well, yeah, but man, he's a great guy, and gosh, he recruits, you know, really good kids.
They better not go 2-10.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we will be very critical of that if it does happen. Whatever's on the field is ultimately what you're judged on in college athletics, and that's that's fine.
His attitude makes dealing with the growing pains a lot easier. Tom Allen's a first-year head coach. We've all seen the mistakes that he's made. You know, you got to take responsibility for the onside kick against Tennessee, for the fake punt botch at Penn State. There was another special teams gaffe. If you want to call it whatever, Michigan State, if you want to say there was a special teams gaffe on that, you can, on the WAP failure return with the penalty. There have been a lot of in-game learning experiences that Tom Allen has experienced, that because of how he's responded to this situation, you kind of deal with it. You give him the benefit of the doubt a little bit in terms of a longer leash and things like that. Now, look, he won 8 games last year. He deserved the contract extension and all of that stuff. But it goes back to
And people don't give Kevin Wilson enough credit either for bringing him in. And I think Greg Frey was instrumental in bringing him in as well. But they saw something in Tom Allen that he was a good fit at Indiana and for that defense. And while Wilson ultimately took the bullet that made Coach Allen the head coach, you could deal with those growing pains a lot easier with knowing that this is the guy who's representing your university on Saturdays and on the recruiting trail. And you just look at the situation in Iowa and you just go, maybe Fred Glass knew what he was doing, you know, and things like that. And then you had the strength coach, Chris Doyle, put out something, you know, he said he was sorry. And then at the bottom of the letter, he said, well, I wouldn't change, you know, he basically doubled back on it and things like that. So
sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, not sorry. It's things like that, but it's nice to not have to be involved in that stuff. And it's so refreshing to see and the stuff at Clemson, so refreshing to see a college football head coach. And I know that there's a bunch of them who fell in line behind Allen as well, who have done a great job, but it's very refreshing. And then let's change over to Chris Beatty. I didn't know him personally. I knew a lot of people who did know him personally. And it was a complete tragedy what happened. He was trying to break up a robbery, was shot, killed. But talking to all the people that knew him, how you remember people is your legacy. And it did not take all that long for the city of Indianapolis, if you didn't know who Chris Beatty was, to figure it out. This guy, they have the hashtag live like Chris. His legacy is going to live on forever because he was that guy who was always positive, always lending a helping hand, and all those things. Now, my time at IU was right after he graduated, but we are mutual friends. I'm sure I've met him in person a couple of times just because how often I hung out with his mutual friends. But he was all in on Coach Allen and all in on Indiana football. And it's just to have that life taken at 38 when he could have made – he had so many more years to make an impact on the city of Indianapolis, on Indiana football, and things like that. It's just an awful, awful tragedy, and things like that. So I know Home Field is doing a T-shirt, a Live Like Chris T-shirt with number 96 on it. Those proceeds are going to the Chris Beatty Memorial Fund, which funds scholarships at Cathedral and IU. The last time I checked, it was over like $100,000. And that's on GoFundMe as well. So, you know, it took all of a week for the community to come together. And that's rare, unless you're an absolutely great person. It's rare. And Chris Beatty was that absolutely great person that people cared about and are sad to see go in a devastating fashion where he was trying to do the right thing. Any thoughts on that, TJ?
No, I think you said it very well. And, you know, any time that you see somebody that has had that big of a positive impact in relatively, you know, short amount of time, 38 years is not a long life. And he clearly had a very large impact on a number of people and a few different communities that he really left his imprint on. And you lament, you know, the lie or the years that he's not going to have to do more things like that, while also, you know, celebrating the time that he did get to have to do those positive things. And it's a delicate balance to have there while you're very sad that he will not get to continue that life. It's, you know, you celebrate what he was able to do, and I think you're seeing that with the scholarship fund and with all the touching tributes that were put out, including the really well done mural downtown in his honor. So certainly Indiana football lost a really clearly a good guy and former player. And I just, you know, take this moment to give our condolences to his family and his friends. Well, that wasn't us, you know, it certainly, it just pains me that the gun culture that we have in America, this wasn't us, but it could be, you know, it could be if we had the courage to try and do the right thing. You know, I'd like to think that I would try to do what Chris Beatty did and try to help somebody. And that's what he gets for it. And it's a tragedy on a lot of levels. And we could get into a more political discussion. We will wisely steer away from that here, but certainly another tragedy and a growing list of them in what's been a very rough year.
Yeah, it's 2020 is taking a real toll on a lot of people, millions and millions of people. But we'll see. Hopefully, you know, lessons are learned and people come together and you know, you make the best out of a terrible situation. And you know, people can impact communities in different ways, and hopefully they go out and do that, and we'll see what happens. But when it comes back to the fall, I think sports are gonna play a big role, just like they did after 9/11, in kind of just a release to get away from everything. And you know, it's entertainment, and you know, it's something that, you know, you could go and watch together and find a common thing to get behind. So the hope is that season will start on time. If you're a parent with kids looking to go back to school, I don't know what to tell you. It does not look as hopeful that'll get done before football season. But we want everybody to be safe and things like that. So any final thoughts, TJ?
Yeah, I concur with you. I hope everybody can stay safe. Find one thing to do to positively impact your community. You know, trust me, there's plenty of need for whatever good deed it is that you've got to do. There's plenty of need for it. And if that's something that requires a lot of effort or just a little bit of effort, just anything positive that you can do for somebody else goes a long way right now.
Yeah, just, you know, uplift the community. That's what you can control, what you can control. And, you know, be a good person, love each other, as Tom Allen would say. And I think that message is not just for Indiana football or Indiana football fans, but the entire world right now is just, you know, love each other. And, you know, we'll get through it. People will get through it. And hopefully we come out better on the other side. So that does it for this podcast. We will have our preseason predictions. My hope is to get some experts in to talk about other conferences as well. But we'll go conference by conference, Big Ten, Pac-12, Big 12, SEC, ACC, Group of Fives, things like that, because this season is going to shape up to be it's a pretty interesting season in terms of who's going to make the playoff. Is Pac-12 going to get one in? Where is Ohio State going to trip up? If they're going to trip up, you know, just how good can this Indiana football team be? It's probably the most talented one on paper in the last couple decades. So it's a really, really exciting time to be a college football fan with it's right there. We're 88 days away.
So hopefully it doesn't get pushed back. But there are a lot of storylines to look at and things like that. And we'll take you through conference by conference with that. Anyway, TJ, thanks for joining me on this Monday night. We'll be back next week with our first conference preview, which is to be determined.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody.
All right. That does it for tonight's podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can find us on Spotify and Apple on iTunes podcast. Just search Hoosier Huddle. Keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. We have all our player countdowns as well as season previews for the first couple of games coming out as well. And then follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle and find us on Facebook as well. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back again.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Searching for NBA playoff coverage? We've got you. The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, gives you an inside look into the world of sports. Hosted by former NBA sharpshooter and Duke legend J.J. Redick and sports writer Tommy Alter, The Old Man and the Three offers unprecedented access to the league. Tommy and J.J. discuss the NBA and interview some of the biggest names in the league, like Devin Booker and Luka Doncic. NBA final season is the perfect time to dive in, and you can listen to The Old Man and the Three wherever you get your podcasts. To hear episodes brought to you by BMW. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.